Thank you for how you're going to share with us something that's going to really enrich our lives. It's going to be a breakthrough this morning. And I really believe this morning it's a breakthrough morning for us. In just the way you're going to share something that's we read so often, but the application now for us to be able to experience the reality of walking in a faith that is so alive, so real, so powerful, so life-giving. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your incredible love, Lord Jesus, and how you gave your life so that we can come to know the Father and be loved by the Father. We have been chosen by you, Father. We live loved by you, and we thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, you are so amazing in the way you reveal to us the incredible. And today, as you speak to our spirit, Abba Father, as you communicate to our spirit so that we can receive from our spirit, but also with our mind, so the spirit and truth is our reality, and we can just acknowledge how great is our God. And we want to thank you for this. Father, we're not only praying this for ourselves, but we do ask, Father, for the community, for our nation, for the people of our nations that we are have got in our hearts in one way or the other. We do ask by your Holy Spirit to move sovereignly, to draw all mankind into fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for what you're doing over here. Amen. Amen. Last week we were looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to continue with that. Now, I wanted to share with you, probably to give a bit of more context to why we are really learning some key truths here in how to pray for one another, how to pray for a nation, how to pray for nations, and just beginning to understand a greater insight in the power of prayer and to have a confidence in God's activity as you and I pray the prayer of faith. When, for me personally, I know that God has given me a mandate for 1947. That's the postal code for our area. So for me, when I'm praying for what God has purposed for 1947, for the people living in 1947, and really much in engaging in that prayer. And one of the things that I find very often as I pray for our community and also for South Africa now as well, I find myself going back to the Garden of Eden. I find myself seeing how God, when he said, let us, so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the way they made and created God's family, you and I, children of God. And I find myself seeing the reality of their life where there was no sin, and God's intention, God's plan, the original heartbeat of God to see all mankind living as he had created man to be. And then I find myself seeing the fall where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and how from that moment you can see, if you look at history, I follow history and I see the increase of darkness and the power of sin and evil and wickedness, you name it. And you just see, and I stand, and as I pray for a community, I pray and I see the consequences, I see the condition of humanity. I see our lives, I see the pain, I see the brokenness, I see the deception, I see that how people think that this is life, but it's so stripped from the original plan of God in creating us. And so all of this deception and all this Satan has blinded the minds, that's a reality in my prayer life. And so in all of this kind of what you see as you pray for the residents, as you pray for the nation, I also see the incredible love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus leaving his glory and coming down to this earth to be able to give his life, to live this incredible sinless life that we could not have done, in order to undo all that junk, all that filth, all that sin, all the consequences of Adam and Eve's fall, and allowing the enemy to have authority. I see how Jesus comes and he just reverses all of that, so that you and I, by faith, as we accept Jesus, can come out of that and now once again be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And we start to learn what it is to live loved as his children, because he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we are his children. That's who we are. And so we start to learn how to live loved by our Heavenly Father. And so in all of that darkness, you see the incredible love of God the Father. The Father sending his Son Jesus. Jesus laying down his life. The Holy Spirit giving us rebirth so that we are born again. The love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then also see you and I see the family of God getting touched by God with Christ in us. Now be able to be ambassadors, to be able to be involved in this incredible ministry in setting captives free and bringing the healing and bringing the deliverance, whatever is needed, so that mankind that is so bound by the, and that man, the reality of deception is mankind thinks that this is life. But when you're in the Spirit and you see how God created us to be, and you see the condition of mankind and all the deception, like you were sharing, wow, you know, it's good to go and to have, you know, every to the pub and that there. It's such a deception to think this is life. And you and I have the message and the ministry of reconciliation to be able to communicate in the power of the Holy Spirit to set people free. And that is why this praying for the family, because many, many times we're wanting to be involved in one form of ministry, etc., but we've not yet brought those people that God's put in our hearts into our hearts in intercession. It's in intercession with Jesus. It's there with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as we pray. We start to get a love. We start to experience the love of God for them. Then doors open. Many times doors are closed for ministry because we have not yet taken them into our hearts and really spent the time in intercession to connect with the love of God for each and every one. Because what happens now, the ministry needs to be inspired by faith and love. It needs to be moving faith in what Christ has done in the power of his love to set people free. That needs to be established in us. And this is the time, abiding in him, you'll bear much fruit. And this is why in prayer, we really begin to learn what it is to have people in the heart. And I would say to the husbands and to the wives, many, many times, our prayers are not answered because we've got so much issues in our hearts towards our spouses, and so we're not praying from the position of this deep love of God for our spouses. And so it's why isn't there? So in our homes and our children and our families, this is where we really learn how to have the love of God, how to live, I've died to self, and it's not Christ in me. How to enter and connect with the intercession of Jesus Christ for mankind. And that's, you start to see incredible breakthroughs taking place. So all of this now is to help us to learn. And that is why today, once again, we will stay there in verse 1. And I'm just going to go a bit deeper into that. When Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it's Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Many times we maybe say to ourselves, I don't really have the faith to believe. I don't really have the faith. My faith is weak. But if our faith is as small as a mustard seed, it's very powerful. So there's something more that we need to understand, that's a deeper root cause of why we are saying what we are busy saying. And so here we have a truth over here where Paul is speaking to the body of Christ in Thessalonians, and he says, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. So he's releasing the grace of God, the peace of God. So everything that Paul's about to share, there's a grace for the readers to be able to really receive, and now to start to be able to experience the truth. So we ask ourselves, but why do we say, I don't have enough faith? Why do we say, I need more faith, when we know that parable of Jesus, the faith is small as the mustard seed, has everything in sight. A mustard seed has everything in sight to be able to be a mustard tree, you know, and produce mustard seeds. Likewise, with the gift of faith God has given all of us, we've got everything that is in this faith to be able to do what God has birthed in us to do. But there's a deeper reason, and that is very often it's the way we are thinking that is a blockage for the releasing of the power of faith that God has given to you and I. It's what's going around in our mind and our thoughts. Paul speaks about to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the brain is neutral, it's an instrument. But what's the life in that mind, the thoughts, the power, what's driving our mind, that the spirit of our mind. And here's something that you'll find there, that Paul continually prays for the family of God. All the time he's praying, God, by your incredible Holy Spirit, give revelation all the time. So we realize there that in order for us to really grow and to move in the faith that God has given us, there's something about the way we're thinking. There's a dialogue that's taking place that needs to be renewed, and God's truth needs to be put into place so that we are able to move in the power of His Word. And that's what I want to just, a few of the prayers. You know, I think most of us have quoted Isaiah chapter 4 verse 6. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. But it carries on because they have rejected the knowledge. We don't read that part. And that. But you'll see over there that many times we as believers, we are perishing, we are struggling, we are not getting the breakthrough simply because we have not yet, because the Holy Spirit has revealed truth, but we have rejected that truth. And we have kept our dialogue as our truth. And as a result, we are perishing. As a result, we are not walking in the incredible promises of God. So we can look at the old covenant and we say, man, look at Israel. They had all the truth, but they rejected. Look at our own lives. How much has the Holy Spirit shared with you and I? And we have rejected, and we're stuck with our own thoughts, our own way of thinking, and that, and we've been quite stubborn in that. And why am I not getting the breakthrough? Why am I doing this and that? Let's stop rejecting. You know, let's start keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And so this is important, because you and I, as I've shared early on, as we see how darkness, and we see how humanity is so captured and are evil and wicked and all that is there, and the deception, as we receive truth, we are children of light. So we are light in this dark world. And many believers are still battling. And so as we learn how to renew our mind with truth, we will begin to be able to help many believers. That's why the Great Commission, teach them to obey. Interesting way Jesus speaks about these things. Teach them to obey, because we are used to rejecting the spirit of truth and keeping our own truth as our foundation. And so we are perishing as a body of Christ. And we're praying for the family of God to rise up. We're praying for the family of God to be pillars of truth, to be able to walk and live in the truth, so that people can see the reality of what truth is all about and what faith is all about. So we also, Philippians 1 is another prayer that Paul prays as well. Let me just quickly read that there. And we see how, or that Ephesians, I think all of us know that Ephesians 1, let me just read verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And he carries on about praying for the family of God. Philippians 1, again here in verse 11. And this is my prayer, verse 9, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We've read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3-4, you and I, because of the grace through Christ Jesus, how we have been enriched in the totality of our lives and all our speaking and all our knowledge. So we as children of God have got revelational truth, that when we receive that truth, we are able to be able to live in the reality of what it is to be enriched in Christ Jesus. And so we've got to be honest sometimes with ourselves, and we ask ourselves, but I read about that, but it's not my experience. I believe that, but it's not my experience. And this is where you and I, you start to realize, but what am I thinking? What's my dialogue? What's my thoughts? What's the foundation of my mind? What's my mind built upon? And we start to now question that, because we need to be in the place where we ask Holy Spirit, this is my life. This is the way I'm thinking. And it's just repeating itself all the time. I'm not seeing the breakthroughs, what your truth is saying. I believe you, but there's something wrong over here. And so this morning, I'd like to go back to a very well-known portion in Romans 12. And it's about moving from being conformed into the reality of being transformed. Because he speaks about being conformed to the pattern of this world, and moving from that place of conformity to the place of total transformation. And we need to understand, as children of God, the process. Because many, many times we want to rectify the behavior. So just say, for instance, I might have the habit of just say, going and drink a lot, etc., or whatever it may be, or gamble, whatever it may be. So let me try and put some kind of barriers over there to try and stop me from going over there. I'm so deceived, I'm so manipulative, I will find a way to get there, no matter the barriers. So we try to sort out the behavior without dealing with the mind. See, because it's only as we renew our mind to truth that we can experience what transformation is all about. And not trying to deal with the issues with the behavior and change our lives with behavior. And this is what Paul is speaking about. So here we have the incredible truth to the body of Christ, to the family of God here in Sasolburg, in Johannesburg, wherever we may be in South Africa, to this incredible called out ones by God for salvation, loved by our Heavenly Father here in South Africa, who are in God. Remember last week, in God, the incredible creator of all, and he's our Father, the giver of life and the sustainer of life, and to the Lord Jesus, the incredible Lord of Lords, the owner of all things, and Jesus, our Savior, the anointed one. So we are in them in this incredible relationship. We're in this family of God. And that's going to take a journey for you and I to discover what that means to be in the family of God, what it means to be in the kingdom of God, what it means to be in a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the intimacy of the prayer and the Holy Spirit sharing and opening it all up to us. So he prays that. So we've got a truth now, and we are asking ourselves the question, how do we look at our life? How do we look at South Africa? How do we look at our problems? How do we look at our future? Now we've got a truth. We need to now bring all of that into the truth of, but be in you, God Almighty. You are the most sovereign God. We are in you. So my future, my problem, I've got to start to see it from that perspective of what it is to be in you, Father, to be you as God Almighty, to be you in you, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has overcome all things, the one who has triumphed over this world and has given us peace. In you, Lord Jesus, what does my problem look like? What does my situation now look like? What does my nation look like? And so when we are now learning to be established in a truth like this, you'll see there that there are many voices. We've got many arguments. We've got all these things that come up to try and come against a truth of what it really means to be in the Father and the Son. What does it really mean to live being so loved by our Heavenly Father? What does it really mean to live in the reality of Jesus as my shepherd? What does it mean to live in the reality of the incredible promises that as we seek Him and that all these things are added to our lives as well? What does it mean? Because all of this, every promise is a yes in Jesus. So we are in Jesus. What does it live to be able to experience these promises of the Word of God? And so we realize, but that's not my life. I'm not really experiencing that. And that is why it's important to ask, what's in my mind? What's my thinking? So in Romans chapter 12, as we now begin to appropriate a truth of praying from the place of being in the Father and in the Son, everything just changes totally in our attitude, in our mind. There's a living hope, there's faith, everything is so alive. Now, let me go to chapter 11 first, verse 33 onwards. Paul is speaking to the family of God, and he's now in a place of tremendous worship. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. So he's speaking about the reality of being in the Father and the Son, the knowledge of God, the all-knowingness of God, the wisdom of God that mankind doesn't have. It's something that has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? From him and through him and to him are all things. This is the reality of being in God the Father and His Son Jesus. To Him be the glory forever and ever. And then in chapter 12 verse 1, therefore, based on what Paul has just expressed in this incredible revelation of God, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is where, like Yvonne, you God is sharing, and Rachel, there's a lot there about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is why we don't realize as believers, we can't just do things to our bodies for the sake of trying to get an identity or trying to feel loved, whatever the case may be. Our bodies belong to God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we, in Him we move, in Him we live, in Him we have our being, and other than Him we have our identity. So when we start renewing our mind to the truth that we are in you, Lord, you start to find, you get your true identity. And we don't need to do stuff to our bodies in order to try and get identity. See, and so all that we do to our bodies is a symptom of we don't really know what it is to be loved by God. So it reveals the hurt, it reveals the pain, it reveals trauma, it reveals the mind, it reveals the way we think concerning how we treat our bodies. So we now offer our bodies, it's no longer ours, it belongs to the Holy Spirit. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And there's a lot more to go into there, but just very, very briefly. And then we carry on, and he says over here, this is your spiritual act of worship. So in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, see why this is so important, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And this is why for all of us are in the place here where we, God, what's your will? We're feeling, we're seeing your love. We know the harvest is getting ripe all the time, and laborers, we're praying for the laborers to be sent out. We're praying for Pacific laborers that can have a heart there for families, a heart there for maybe people with addiction, a heart there with people that's been traumatized in accidents, you name it. We need so many, the gifts of healing is plural. We need so many laborers that's got the love of God to be able to minister the healing of Jesus into people's lives. What's the will, God? What's your will, God? And this is why Paul writes over here, in order to be able to really understand what God's incredible, perfect will is, there's something to do with coming out of being conformed into the reality of being transformed. Then we'll be able to know. We cannot bypass this if we want to really know the will of God for our lives and for the family of God in our nation. So let's have a look at some of the words over here. When he says over here, "I did not conform," you see, he's speaking to believers, and he's speaking about how we used to live when we were still enslaved to sin. Because he's speaking about in Romans chapter 4 and 3 and 5 and 6, all the reality of what it was to be born and the consequences of being in Adam, that fallen nature, enslaved to sin, etc. And with that, us being enslaved to sin, we were conformed. In other words, the word conformed means we are living a life that has an outward appearance, but it's not our inward reality. He's speaking to children of God here. So he's saying to the family of God, listen guys, something has taken place. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6, that when Christ died, you died with him. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised up with him in order to live a new life. And he goes on and he says, therefore start thinking like that. He says, gain the mind. In order to be able to live in the truth, there has to be a change of the way we're thinking. So he says, here's the truth. Now renew your mind to the truth. So now he's writing, guys, listen, you're no longer living as you were when you used to be an Adam, enslaved to sin. That's not you anymore. That's not your inner reality. That's not who you are. But now your outward lifestyle is living like the world lives. See, it's a contradiction. So that's what he's speaking about. He's saying to the guys, guys, you're living a life just like the rest of the world, but you are not those people. Christ has done something. You've been born again by the Holy Spirit. You now have the incredible life of the Holy Spirit within you. So he's speaking about a behavior that the body of Christ is doing that looks just like the world. There's no difference. And he's saying, but that's not your reality. So now what we will try to do, we will try and say, okay, change your behavior. You've got to change your behavior. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. You try and tell people to stop. Maybe they're addicted to something. Try and stop that addiction over there by just changing the behavior. You can't do that. You've got to help the people to begin to understand there's a new way of thinking. There's something that needs to be adjusted in the thought process in order to be able to move from being conformed into the reality of being transformed. So again, the word conformed over here is an outward lifestyle that looks just like the pattern of the world, the way the world lives, the way the world speaks. It looks like the wisdom of the world. It looks like the understanding of the world. And here we see there in chapter 11 that the mind of God, the thoughts of God, the way of God is beyond our understanding, is beyond the way, the pattern of the world, of the philosophers, of the teachers of this world, etc. It's far beyond that. That's why when Paul prays for the Spirit of God to give revelation so that we can know the deep things of the Father in order for you and I to have the mind of Christ. at what it means to gain an aspect of what it is to be in Christ, so that we can start having the mind of Christ as the Holy Spirit reveals truth and guides us into all truth, the truth found in Jesus Christ. So again, is a lifestyle. And so as we start to, in our own lives, look at our lives and say, but I keep on living like that, and I've tried all the disciplines to try and stop, it's not working, you then got to realize that, Lord, there's something that I've not received. The truth is that when Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 14, and he said there that it's good for him to go to the Father, because Jesus said that when I go, I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, then you will know. It's not intellectual. This is an encounter. Then you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Then you will know that I'm in you and you are in me. So our inner reality has changed. By the Holy Spirit, we now have the reality of the Father and the Son dwelling with us, revealing truth, showing themselves to us. That's our inner reality. And everything about life is to try and prevent the believers to know what our inner reality is. So we have a lot of programs to try and help our behavior, but it's not yet flowing from the inner man. We need to learn how to live from our spirit outwards. Okay, so now the next word that we look at over here, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So here's a decision that we make. Do not conform. So we make that decision. We take a hold of a truth. God, you're showing me, here's a truth. And now I'm going to put this truth into practice. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And for many, we understand the word pattern, it's the mold, how we are conformed. So we live out as the world dictates, and that's our lifestyle. But be transformed. Now, I think most of us have heard the message about the word transformed. You take the butterfly, you know, and the whole way it changes. So it's speaking about, the word transformed speaks about a behavior that truly reflects who we really are in the inside. Where conformed was a behavior that was not who we really were as children of God. Transformed means now my behavior is the result of who I really am as a child of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit who dwells within us. So he's saying over here, in order to be able to know the will of God, in order, remember the mind, the natural mind, is an enemy against the ways of God, but the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit has the desires after the things of God. So here now, the mind that is resisting truth does not understand the will of God, because it's not having the desires of God by the Holy Spirit. But now as we yield and we're taking hold of a truth, but I'm in you, Father, I'm in you, Jesus Christ. This truth, I don't understand yet, but I receive it and I thank you. Now as I start to apply that with my mind, so today as I go leave over here and I face whatever it may be facing, maybe a joyous time, it may be a conflict, it may be whatever it may be, I'm in you. That's going to be the application to today. You've told us that I need to renew my mind about the situation I'm facing today. This is how I always reacted. This is the way I always thought about this situation. But no longer am I going to think like that. No longer am I going to react like that. Now I'm going to apply truth. I'm going to renew my mind to the truth of what it is. I'm in you. Let me look at my situation from the position of being in you, God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign. Let me be in the position of you, Jesus Christ, what it is to be in relationship and what you have done, because in you I have been enriched in every way. Let me learn what it means in my given situation. And that's the transformation that takes place. Now we all start to live from the reality of who we really are from the inside. Now we, when the Spirit testifies with our spirit on the inside, Abba Father, now we'll begin to live. No one can call Jesus the Son of God unless by the Holy Spirit. Now we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit will testify to our spirit, Jesus is your Lord. Why are you bowing down to this situation? He's your Lord. Rise up. Let us rise up and understand, Lord, you are the Lord. You have an answer here. You've got a truth here that you enable me to receive so that I can be able to walk and to see the power of faith being manifested now because I've renewed my mind to the truth. Remember what faith is. It's being persuaded by something. So before, when I'm conformed to the pattern of this world, I'm persuaded by that pattern. That's my truth. Wisdom, the words, the thoughts, that's my truth. But now the Holy Spirit is speaking about us learning how what it is to press in and be established and praying from the position of being in the Father and the Son. Now I'm no longer conformed by that. Now truth is now my persuasion. Now I start to renew my mind to that truth, and that is where the faith is released. And that's where we pray the prayer of faith for our families or for our towns, for ourselves, etc. Then he says over here, a renewing of the mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. One of the things that, just as I conclude here, one of the things that the enemy will tell many, many believers, and even the unsaved, that God's will for your life is not good and pleasing. The life of misery. Just look at those missionaries. Just look at them. Look how they suffer. And that will be the truth that he will lie all the time to a person. And many, many are missing out their calling. They're missing out their God-given purpose. They're missing out of applying this truth because they're too scared that maybe that following God it's not going to be good for me at all. It's not going to bring me fulfillment and joy and pleasure. Let me rather be in control of my own destiny. That's part of the deception. That's being conformed to the pattern of this world. Satan, who is the one who controls the whole world, being conformed. As we renew our mind to what the Spirit of God is sharing, suddenly we start to find, starting to live who we really are as children of God. And that's what we want to pray this morning as we have communion, etc. Maybe it's for our own lives, but we want to join with so many people that prayed with Paul and throughout the years, Father, may your Holy Spirit give revelation. May we understand the transition from confirmation, from being conformed to that truly being transformed into his likeness. Colossians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17, 18 onwards, as we behold him as Lord, what takes place? We are being transformed into his likeness. We're no longer conformed to Adam. We're now being transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. One level of glory to another. Paul prays in Ephesians 4, there in verse 18 onwards, 23. That's who we used to be, but that's no longer who we are. We are now children of God, children of light. And then says, then put off the old, because that's not who you are anymore. Take hold of the truth that in Christ you were a new creation. He says, then renew the attitude of your mind so that you can be transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ in true righteousness and holiness. All the time the mind is involved when it comes to the word transformation. How are we thinking? Let's start to practice renewing our mind. So I think all of us today will go out and we will have a situation where we're going to need to practice the renewal of our mind. Experience then the breakthrough. truth. Jesus said, truth sets free. We quote that, but it's really an incredible reality. Truth really sets us free. God's truth, not the world's truth, sets us free. So He called us into freedom. Let's stay in freedom so that we are part of this incredible army of God in helping many, many people get set free, as we ourselves are continually moving more and more into the reality of freedom. Amen. But Father, thank You. Thank You for the most, what can we say, divine strategy of Yours that seems so foolishness to mankind, to the wisdom of this world, where we as Your children who have experienced the birth of the Holy Spirit within us and our inner man is not like it used to be, but now it's in relationship with You. Now it's alive. Now, Holy Spirit, Your law of life is operating within us. The life of Jesus, Your power is operating within us. Your incredible fruit within us, so that we can experience in our inner man the joy, the peace, the hope, etc., the kindness, patience, and so forth. What a privilege, what a joy. We want to thank You as we take, Lord Jesus, the communion this morning with You. Today we want to connect. Today we want to appropriate that in Your incredible death, we too died. And in Your resurrection, we too were raised from the dead in order to live this new life. We want to thank You, Lord Jesus, that as You went to the Father, You asked for Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, the Father, poured the Holy Spirit to us. And as He gave us the Holy Spirit, He poured His love into our hearts. What an inner reality that we have as children. This incredible love, the fruit of Holy Spirit. And today, we want to thank You, Jesus. You are an incredible teacher. Holy Spirit, You're the one that teaches us and reminds us. And so we receive, as You share with us, our thought process, our mind, what we're thinking, and how today there's a grace to demolish, to demolish. I love that word demolish, because it's not playing around, it's demolishing it, destroying it with Your incredible power of the blood of Jesus Christ, Father, with the incredible power of the Holy Spirit, with the truth that comes from You, Jesus. What a joy to be able to demolish these arguments that are coming up all the time in our minds and weighing us down, and we're tripping to the place of total transformation, where we now we find we're no longer enslaved to those thoughts. We're no longer enslaved to the emotions that go with those thoughts. We're no longer enslaved to the behavior that go with those thoughts and the emotions that go through our mind. But now we find a freedom, because Your truth truly sets us free. So Jesus, we celebrate what You have done in Your incredible death and resurrection, and we honor You for that this morning. And today we want to just honor You and give You the praise and the glory for setting us all free. Amen. Amen.